For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
Welcome to episode number 231 of MSRcast, your metal podcast. Welcome to 2020. Woo-hoo. It's a new year.
Yeah.
And a new decade.
Oh, yeah.
We have a decade of music to listen to. Can you
stay tuned for the next 77 hours?
That's right. I am one of your hosts. I am Carrie the Metal Geek, along with
Sean the Metal Pigeon.
And we kind of come with a nickname for Justin here. We got Brutal Dave from Metal Geeks.
I got to be the funny metal guy, right?
How about the angry metal guy?
Well, there already is
somebody that
I'll be the funny metal guy.
Funny metal guy. All right, maybe.
I'll take it.
We'll determine that by the end of the episode.
All right, fair enough.
So this is our 2019 rewind episode. If you listen to the show for any amount of time, we don't really do a top 10, top 20, 30, 40, 50. These are the albums that we've listened to the most out of the past year, our favorites basically, even though we have put them to numbers.
It's okay, I don't know what you're talking about. I definitely made a top 25 list.
I made a top 50.
Well,
and there's like another page and a half of like just honorable mentions.
I listened to an absurd amount of music.
I did too. It was a great, let's just preface this. It was an amazing year for metal music, for music in general, for media in general, really.
It really was. But yeah. I think 2019 is the best metal year we've had in the entire decade, probably.
I don't know about the decade, but
it really, in terms of just this amount of, I think you can make a case for it being the best of the decade because of how many, at least for me, this is would be my case for it, is that my list was comprised mostly of bands I hadn't heard before.
Sure.
Which to me is the sign of a healthy metal scene.
I wouldn't say it's maybe the best, but it's the most varied and the most new bands I've listened to in a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Same here. I actually tracked everything this year. I've been working on my list since January. made a giant spreadsheet. I've been keeping track of my listens.
I've seen your spreadsheet.
It's tremendous, right?
Yeah.
I listened to 297 different albums that were released this year. And of those 297, based on my scoring system, 72 scored a 4.0 or better. So, I mean, that's
pretty good.
More than a third, you know, or roughly a third, made a 4.0 or better. I made a Spotify playlist with everything that was 3.6 or better, I believe.
I listened to it.
And there's a ton of good stuff on there.
Oh, by the way, this is Justin from the Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast.
Hey, what's going on?
Special guest to the show. He's been on here many, many times.
I'm the funny metal guy.
I don't know if that's going to stick, dude. You can try, but I don't know.
When you did your final list, did you factor in amount of time played? Like the things you played?
One of mine.
But there was also a lot of other factors because some of the bands I didn't discover until late October
November.
Right. Even though they came out in April.
Yeah.
You know, like my number two and my number three albums in particular, those both came out earlier in the year. I didn't find them until later in the year, but then I just listened to them on repeat 25 times.
Yeah.
And fell completely in love with them.
So let's talk about the first band of the evening. We started off with Afinamer.
I don't think that's how you pronounce it.
How do you pronounce it?
Afanamer.
How do you pronounce it?
Afanamer. But I could easily go with Afanamer if that's the way you want to do it.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm outvoted here, so so how do you say an Afanamer?
Won't you be my neighbor?
Sure. I mean, if you want to move on, you're over here.
They're from Canada, right?
I believe so.
From France.
No.
They're Canadian.
Are they? I thought they were from actual France.
No, they're Canadian.
We're going to have to
French Canadian.
Look at this now. I think that. I know they just did a Canadian tour with Alestorm.
That makes sense.
And I was hoping that would come.
Oh, you're
through
right.
Here.
No, you're right. I'm wrong. I was thinking of the Canadian tour because I've seen a lot about that.
Yeah, they're from. I forgot this. I think it's from Toulouse, but.
Okay.
Yeah. The fact that there's not a lot of Melodeth coming from France, you know, that you can think of.
It's black metal. Gojira or something.
Yeah, and there's Gojira, obviously, but this, I don't even remember how I found this album, but when I started listening to it, it just immediately, I was just like, this is one of the most interesting takes on Melodeth I've ever heard in my life.
Where is this on your list?
This is number three.
Wow, that's really high up.
There were a couple months there where I thought this is easily the number one.
First half of the year, because the last time I was on, I think Metal Geeks, Sean was there as well, and he told me about this. This had to be back in March or April.
Right.
And I fell in love with it from the first listen, and it was on repeat most of the year. I kept coming back to it because it's such a fun album. It's a really fun Melodeath album.
Yeah.
In the end, it didn't quite make that high on my list, but it did make my top 10, and it came out at number 9 for me.
Okay.
It's a fantastic album all the way through. Every single song is great.
They just got this kind of classical element that they weave through the melodies of these songs, where the riffs are just like, they're almost like echoing like violin, you know, melodies or motifs or whatever. It's
classical is a very good way to describe it.
It's way higher in my list. Lower in my list, not as high as you guys, but it's like number 45 for me. But that's just testament to how many amazing albums I listened to this year.
Right. And everybody has different tastes, too. Right. So.
Yeah, I mean, I like it a lot.
Yeah.
But it's just, it didn't resonate with me after, like, the first two or three listens as much as you guys. You said you kept on going back to it.
Mm-hmm. I didn't go back. Stop listening to it, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why it's so high on your list.
Yeah.
So before we dive further into our list, let's talk about resolutions. What are our resolutions for...
Like metal next year. Resolutions?
Yeah, metal resolutions. I don't care. We all need to lose weight. We all need to stop drinking.
My metal
resolution. I don't.
Drink more water.
Drink more water. That's
yeah.
Yeah.
My resolution is actually 240 by 240.
I'm already going to a ton of shows already, and it's only January 2nd.
It's not a resolution. You can't say my resolution is to go to more shows.
No, I mean, that's already done.
I can.
Well, yeah, you can.
He can, yeah.
You can, and you are.
My plan is to hit like 4 or 5 shows this year.
Good.
I mean, I've only been able to do like one every year for the last few, but things are looking better, so I can definitely do more now.
I think it's probably to go back and kind of give, because this year I really just bailed on black metal, and I think it was coming for a long time, like especially last year, or not or 2018 as well. I got really burned out on the genre. And I started to lose. I started to just get bored of anything.
And there was a lot of great black metal albums this year too.
That's really funny to hear you say, because I did the exact same thing on Melodeath, but I dived headfirst into black metal.
Yeah,
I feel like 2019 was like a renaissance for black metal. There were so many good bands trying new things.
And I'll probably go back and discover all that stuff throughout the year, because I'm going to try to.
It'll be his 2019 rewind.
I'm going to
rewind later in the year.
In the past few years, I have really. There was a time when I first started on the podcast, like 2014 or something. Mm-hmm. I was going through a period where I was just burning out in extreme metal a lot. And I think that's probably shown in the podcast, where I've really been, as I found a community of people who really love power metal and they're really fun people to talk to, I just started to go in that direction hardcore. Where, like, I think, you know, like power metal, I sort of drifted out of it in like 2006 and went more extreme for like a decade, or like most of a decade. And I think we all go through these ebbs and flows.
Yeah, for
and everyone's
sure.
Everyone's different. And, you know, so I'm going to try to give black metal another shot, because I really this year could not have been any less interested in the genre as a whole. Just like, yeah. Even the new Mayhem album, which I listened to, and I was like, well, at least it sounds like a black metal album, not the weird nonsense they're usually up to.
That's accurate.
I still just kind of, I gave it like 5 listens, and I was like, that's enough.
I feel, but it wasn't even one of the best black metal albums to come out this year. It's not even close.
Okay. What's your favorite black metal album this year?
We'll get there.
Okay.
We'll get there.
All right.
That's probably the one I need to listen to, actually.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that's a good resolution for Sean, but I think I'll do the opposite. I think I'll try to give power metal more of a chance, because it's a genre that I typically don't invest a lot of time in. Like, I'll hear the occasional band and I'll really like them, but like I love Beast in Black. They're really good. I like Brimir. But they're not exactly full power metal.
Brimir is more of like is like blackened power metal.
What was that one I talked to you about the other day?
And this is the best. There's no better time to be diving back into traditional or power metal, because it is in the midst in the very middle of a full blown renaissance.
Oh, for sure.
And I mean, I should say, Justin, if you're going to go to a show, get a Hell's Heroes ticket in April.
Yeah, I've seen the ads for that. It looks
because,
like a really good lineup.
Because I'm going to say this. I was there this past year, and it was such a great experience, and I'm so excited about this year because the lineup is so great.
All right, and can we just address that fucking Candlemass as headlining?
Yeah, I mean that's spectacular. But then there's so many other bands I love on the bill too.
I'm excited for Slough Feig.
Yeah,
I've never thought I was going to see them live.
And Travor, and yes. I'm so excited. But this festival, when I was talking to other people who live around the country about it, they're considering, like, people want to go to Maryland Death Fest, or they want to go to Prague Power. There are people who are actually talking about, like, I wonder if I should fly down to Houston instead and go see this. This is going
to... It's turning into that, for sure.
It's going to become a destination festival if they keep it going like this, and they should keep it going because it was so much fun.
It's
going
to get bigger than the venue it's at.
We're so... I feel like I won some kind of metal lottery here, where I'm just like in Houston, a town where every band in the world would ignore for the longest time.
This type of music.
Every power metal band would just ignore it. And now all of a sudden we get one of the best.
It's not all power metal. A lot of it's traditional style, or you know, trad. Or speed. Like yeah, trad.
The Ferryman was the band I was thinking
Ferryman,
of.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
Great album.
I love it so
It's
good.
On my list.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that.
Ferryman, okay.
The Ferryman. It's the vocalist, I can't think of his name now, but he's been on some Michael Schenker stuff and.
Okay.
It's really, really, really fantastic vocalist.
All right.
Yeah. My resolution, it's going to be simple. Do more episodes of MSRcast. Get more into metal.
Yeah.
Just highlight it more, man. Just get more into it.
Yeah. That was our resolution last year.
Life gets in the way, man.
And,
I'm telling you.
We had a lot of life things get in the way. So.
It does.
Yeah.
2019 was a rough year in a lot of ways, but it was also a really good year. So I'm looking forward to the new decade, though.
Yeah. So in 2019, what are some highlight memories, metal memories for you guys?
Amorphis.
Yep. You got to see Amorphis live?
I've seen Amorphis
for the first
live,
time.
Finally. And they were fucking awesome. From what I hear, the last time they came, the show was not that great. But this
I
time.
I'm not going to say that.
This time, it was fantastic.
They were much
phenomenal
better.
Show.
Yeah. And Annika opened for them.
I remember that show as being the show of Annika because that was incredible.
That is one of my bucket list items. That's definitely like my top thing of this past year was just the VIP meet and greet with all the bands and being able to like meet Annika and how sweet she is to her fans and how nice she is.
She was very approachable.
You hear it, but I never thought I would actually meet her. I've seen her live. I saw her back in, I think it might have been 98 or 99 at Milwaukee Metal Fest when she was with The Gathering. But, you know, you see him for like a 20-minute set. You know what I mean? Never thought I'd be that close to her, being able to meet her. She's one of my favorite all-time vocalists. And
I mean, I never thought I would see anybody perform Dolly Parton at a metal show.
That's true.
And have all these metalheads singing along with it and clapping.
That's true.
It was quite a spectacle.
Her charm factor is outrageous.
Yeah.
I don't think the
charm, but it's all real. It's not fake.
Right. It's not just showmanship.
Yeah,
it's
you can tell.
No, people can detect the authenticity.
Yeah.
The Arion cover she did, the ballad.
Valley of the Queens?
That was my favorite song of that set. Yeah. And that's the one I keep on remembering.
I have hanging up on my wall now, she was selling handwritten lyrics from that song.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
It was a great show all around.
Amazing show.
For me, it was Hell's Heroes, too.
I wish I missed it. It was so close to my work event. I'm not going to miss it this year.
Right.
I am resolution number one. I am not missing Hell's Heroes. Even though I have to be out of town the next day, I'm still going to be there.
Well, the funny thing was that it was on the day before my birthday. I was so tired that day. But I got there at 5 o'clock. I was upstairs in this insane, you know, the upstairs room at White Oak is this tiny box.
Mm-hmm.
And there were like a couple hundred people in that box, more than there should have been. And it was Bat, this band Bat.
Yeah.
And they played this crazy set where the entire room became a mosh pit. So that was my first, like when I got there, that was my first show to see that day. That bruised me up pretty good. And then just band after band, like Hellstar, Exciter, Visigoth, and Power Trip at the end of the night. It was intense. And I stayed the entire night. And I was so tired before Power Trip went on. I was like, I'm going to leave. That's it. I'm done. I'm so tired. But then I was like, you know what? It's my birthday at midnight. Do I want to be going home and sitting in my car and driving back home at midnight? Or do I want to be at a metal show proving that, like, yeah, whatever. It's my birthday. I'm here.
I can do it.
I can do it. And I stayed till like 1:30 a.m.
You power trip through it?
Yeah, it was great.
I mean, power trip's a good band to stick around for.
They are, for sure.
It was fun, yeah.
I'm still jealous that you got to see Visigoths.
Yeah, I feel really lucky that I got to see that.
My other favorite moment was flying out to California.
Yeah.
And seeing Avantasia live.
I bet, man.
Phenomenal moment.
Yeah.
That was like a highlight of the year for me. It was no question about it. It was one of those things, you're sitting there and you're like, am I really here watching them perform live? It was amazing. Yeah.
I felt that with Demons and Wizards too in Dallas. I felt that way about.
That's a big regret that I didn't get to make that show, but yeah, I was nowhere
again.
I hope they will, because they have a new album coming out.
Yeah.
In 2020, which they've released one song already.
Yeah,
looking forward to it. Hopefully they will tour again, because I will definitely go. Hopefully I won't be out in the middle of the ocean again.
Right.
Unless it's on 70,000 tons.
Right.
Why do we not go to that? It's like down the street.
Not really. It's in Florida, but...
I mean, it leaves out of Galveston.
No. No. It leaves out of Florida.
It used to leave out of Galveston or something. I swear.
I think it's always been Miami or something, but...
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
November's Doom is on that this year, or the next year.
It looks fun.
I would love to do it.
But at the same time, I'm not sure I want to be trapped on a boat.
That's one of my favorite things to do. And just... We love cruising. Love metal. Put the two things together. It's something I would fucking love.
Honestly, it's baffling that you haven't gone that route.
It is baffling. I know. It's just timing has not been good for me the past few years.
That makes sense.
Let's get into the next song. This is a Sean pick. Let's talk about Idle Hands. Not the movie, but the band.
Yeah, Idle Hands. I mean, there's a most hyped band in our group podcast today, this is probably it.
Yeah.
However, I feel like this is one of those situations where the hype is entirely warranted, and in fact, they probably don't get enough coverage because
they were who were they touring with recently? It was
King Diamond.
King Diamond, that's right.
But they're
it's like if an 80s synth band decided they wanted to make a metal album.
Yeah, they're you know,
an 80s synth goth band.
Yeah,
because for sure this was number two on my list for album of the year, and number three on my songs of the year list for this song we're going to play, Dragon, Why Do You Cry? And the album, there could have been like a couple other songs that could have been on my top songs list. This band has captured something that I think has been missing, and they've done it in a way that is really uniquely theirs, with these kind of Latin-tinged guitars and stuff, and a vocalist who kind of is Sisters of Mercy influenced, and... There's a little bit of the early Cult in there, and Peter Steele and stuff like that. It's just like, and he's such a good songwriter, and the guitarist Sebastian Silva is like the most underrated component in this whole thing, because his guitar playing is so loose and it's very
it's a ghost in the making.
This band to me is more interesting than Ghost because of just the sort of rawness of this, The thing that annoyed me about this album when I first heard it was his kind of grunts and everything.
We talked about that, yeah.
And now I can't do without him.
It's his style, right?
Like, I'm going to go see them open for, I think, Mayhem in March. And
are they on the Mayhem tour?
Yeah, they're on that.
I totally forgot about that.
That's a weird combination.
And the thing is, like, you know, I'm going to be there doing all the grunts with them. And the funny thing about that tour is that, like, you think about a band like this, their sound, they could easily be on the road with Ghost or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that they're just leaning towards the metal side. It's like, yeah, give me that. They could easily be opening for My Chemical Romance or some nonsense like that.
No, I see your point. Yeah,
go do the.
Let's go do King Diamond. Let's go do Mayhem. Yeah. It's awesome. The different extremes of metal.
Right.
Trying to broaden their fan base. Really, yeah. I think this band, like you said, My Chemical Romance or something like that, if Ghost took these guys out, they would just fucking blow up.
Yeah,
I mean, it's going to take something that huge. Because
I don't know. I mean, if you look at all the end of the year lists for all the metal reviewers out there, these guys are on almost every single top 10 list.
You know, totally. But not just for metal fans, but I mean,
worldwide appeal.
Because Ghost has that worldwide appeal, not that people that don't just listen to metal are really into them, because it's catchy, and it's
got mainstream appeal.
Mainstream appeal, yeah. Even though we're against that.
I mean, it's like, if you like 80s music, you'll probably like these guys, and it can definitely be one of those introductory bands that drives people to listen to harder stuff. I like the album a lot. It made my top 50. I don't think I had enough time with it to see where I could really land it if I'd give it more listens, but it's definitely a top 50 album of the year
me
for
too.
Me.
I do think there's a limit to how popular they can get because they're just so damn weird. Like this song, like Dragon, Why Do You Cry? Well, it's just so strange.
You would think that about...
It is probably the strangest song on the album, but they have other ones that are more... appealing to the general.
I hate to reference Ghost again, but whoever thought that band would be as big as they are? They're weird.
But it's true. But their sound is so easy on the ears and so palatable to a lot of people who just listen to mainstream rock radio. Right. I think these guys are a little harder edged and a little bit more unpredictable, and it might be a little too abrasive, I guess, for that, like in that vein.
But we need bands like that. Yeah. We need bands that like have some familiar type sounds for people that also have a little bit of stuff they never heard before that can draw them towards.
And I'm predicting right now all it's going to take is, you know, a couple more albums are going to start becoming a little bit more mainstream in their songwriting and their style.
I just want to say
it's just bands just sort of go that way.
Before we play the song, the moment before the guitar solo where Gabriel Franco, the vocalist, starts counting down from 8 to the solo is one of my, is like my favorite moment of the year. Nice. Just in any song. Just like, it's so ridiculous. And then the solo is so epic. I can't stop listening to that, yeah.
All right, so this is your number 3 album of the year?
Number 2 album of
number
the year.
Number 2.
Number 3 song.
Mana, this is Idle Hand with Dragon. Why do you cry?
Why?
Why? Why do you cry?
Why do you cry?
I can just imagine like a children's book with this on it.
Dream.
Welcome back to MSRcast 231, the 2019 Rewind episode. And we were dancing in the ashes with Worm Witch, the album Heaven That Dwells Within. This is a Justin pick.
Justin pick, but it's on my top 15.
Yeah.
I did not know about these guys until about 3 weeks ago when Justin texted me, "Hey, have you heard of Worm Witch? I think you would really dig it." I was like, "All right, I'm going to give it a shot." Holy crap.
Yeah. That's a fantastic album. It actually came out back in April, and I listened to it back in April.
I think I did too, I remember it from back then.
I remember the name. I remember listening to it when I first found it, and I didn't really click with it. It was just an album I dismissed. But then later in the year, around mid-October, I discovered it again, and I've been listening off and on pretty much since then. It's really, really good black and death metal. With some like
mellow death and
melodic stuff added in. I mean, it's one of my favorite albums of the year. It's actually my number four album.
Is it number four? Really?
Yeah. It's number four for me.
Wow. It's number at this point in my list, it's number 14, but if I had more time to sit with it, it'd probably be higher.
I believe it.
Yeah. It's really good.
It's one of those albums that like you get more out of the more you listen to it. And that's what most of my top 10 list is. Like, they're not albums that on the first listen you truly appreciate, but the more you go back to them, the higher up they can climb.
I remember hearing this way back when it was released in like spring or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things where I was like, "Oh, that's interesting." And I'd save it and I just never went back to it. So
you should revisit it. Yeah, it's a fantastic album.
And before Worm Witch, we had Idle Hand with Dragon, Why Do You Cry?
The children's story of the year.
That's right. from the album Mana. Or Mana, you want to say it that way. do you guys have any honorable mentions you want to get into?
Honorable mentions? Well, I've got my top 25 list here, and I imagine we're going to talk more in depth about our top 10. So I can go down my 25 through 10 if you want.
Those are your honorable mentions? Okay.
Sure, why not?
You can do it that way.
All right, so
I agree with that, by the way, because we all know I have a fundamental difference of opinion when it comes to like the lists.
We do.
Because for me, it's like I'm only interested in everyone's top 10. I don't care what number 11 is. You know, because I don't understand how someone gauges what makes something 12 and 13 what makes something 17, not 18.
It's difficult.
You know,
it's difficult.
When you get to the 30s, it's just like, I put this one number 33, but this one's number 34. It's like, why?
Well,
tell me why.
When you get in the 30s, it's like, okay, any of these albums could be anywhere in those 10.
I just feel like after 10, okay, I'll be generous. After 25, it feels like it's just, this is a list of shit I listened to this year.
Yeah, it's all the stuff you like, but it wasn't good enough to make your top 25 list.
if it's a publications list, I understand, because that's a group of writers and they have scores and they're calling them together.
Right.
If it's one person, I'm just like, give me your top 10. I'll look at that.
Yeah, well, the top 10 is what matters the most, because you do have to put a lot more thought into it.
Right.
But like I said, this year there was over 70 albums that made my playlist. They all scored a 4.0 or better, so this came down to a lot to like what I listen to the most or what I enjoy listening to the most.
Do you have some stuff that's out of your top 10? That you could pull up?
Well, I'll let him talk first, and then because I have some stuff, notes I have to look up.
All right, so 25 is Seor, Forgotten Paths.
It's on my list, but higher up.
Higher up?
Well, closer to 50s.
Okay.
Seor was one of my honorables, I would say.
It's a really good album.
But I came to it too late. That's the problem. I came to it in November.
I came to it via my wife, actually.
Oh, really?
She was listening to, she was working one night, and she was in the other room, and she called me, and she's like, "Hey." She called me in the room. She's like, "Do you know this band?" I was like, "I've heard it before." She's like, "It's really good."
I think any other year this could have made top 10 for
me.
It's just not this year. Number 24 is Netherbird, Into the Vast Uncharted. It's really upbeat black metal.
We listened to it a little bit earlier.
One of the ones I discovered kind of later in the year, and I kept going back to it, and I kept wondering if it should be near my top 10. It's good, but it has some flaws, which kept it out.
Sure.
Same thing with number 23, which is Bremer, Wings of Fire.
That's number 31 for me.
It's really fun.
It is. But there's a couple of spots on that album that sort of break it for me. There's a few spots where they do a little bit of like new metal stuff, and it just throws me off.
Like I said, anything that's not in my top 15 has flaws, like a lot of flaws. But it doesn't mean they're not fun albums that I love and go back to many, many times.
Sure.
Number 22 is Lemuria, The Hysterical Hunt.
I listened to that based on your list. I couldn't get into it.
I've listened to that album 50 times this year. Wow. It's fantastic. It's a symphonic death metal album with like a story built into it.
I think that's what it was for me. I was listening to it when I wasn't really paying attention to it like I should. So the story part just lost me.
I can get that. I think the story is actually okay.
Pretty Lord of the Ringies.
It goes on too long.
Yeah.
Like it's about a werewolf and a witch attacking this small village in like whatever country they live in, Romania or something. It's interesting, but it has flaws. It's still a very fun album, and there's a lot of things on it that I really love and go back to. 21 is Numenorian, Adore. 50% a masterpiece and 50% why. That's how I feel about that album.
Why?
But the masterpiece stuff is good enough to merit a top 25 spot. Wow. Like, I love it. 20 is Black Therapy, Echoes of Dying Memories. One of the best Melodeath albums of the year. I kept going back to it. I love it. But it wasn't enough to make my top 10. It might be in your top 10.
It's not in my top 10. It's in my top 20.
I know you loved it.
So. I did.
Number 19 was Lacrimus Profundere, Father of Fate. That's another goth metal band. Kind of reminds me of the Moonspell album.
The name is really familiar. What was it again?
Lacrimus Profundere.
Yeah, I listened to that. Yeah.
They've been around for a while.
I like a lot of good stuff on that album. But again, lots of flaws. Number 18 was Bludos Nord, Hallucinogen.
You know, I forgot about that album.
Now that is an honorable mention for sure.
I love post black metal, you know, and they do it really, really well.
They do.
And this is such a weird album for them too. It's just really bright and colorful, and they it's very like major key at moments. Mm-hmm. It's so surprising.
Again, it's one of those kind of albums that any other year I could see it being in my top 10. You know, probably in the lower half, but definitely there. 17 is my most listened to album of the year because it was the best first album that came out. Drowned by Fear, or Deserted Fear, Drowned by Humanity. You turned me on to them back in January, yeah. I think.
It's been a while.
And it's an album I kept going back to. It's really, really good. Death metal. Just
raw
wasn't
and
quite good enough compared to some of the other things.
Sure.
16 is Campfire, Ophidian's Manifest. I think if it wasn't in German, I would like it more. There's a lot of good stuff there.
Yeah, I know that band.
But
I don't think I heard this album, though.
It's quite good. 15 is Stormlord, Far, which for the better part of the year was my number one.
Oh, it went that far down, huh?
It dropped all the way to 15. Can you believe that?
I can.
Like, I was raving about it when it first came out. And
it's on my list, but just because of your raves, but it's really, really low on my list. I think it's actually just an honorable mention. It's out of my top 50.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's epic Melodeath. You know, there's a lot of really big, sweeping moments in the music, and I really thoroughly enjoy it. It just didn't have enough oomph to stay there.
Gotcha.
14 is MGLA, Age of Excuse. One of the better black metal albums that came out this year.
A lot of hype on that band.
It's consistently good all the way through. Every single song is like Age of Excuse 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to identify.
I think when Sean
gets
back into black metal, he might
like that one more. It's definitely one you should listen to. It's in my top 15.
Okay.
It's not Migla?
It's MG Weird Symbol A.
Yeah.
Migla.
Number 13 is Arctos, Beyond the Grasp of Mortal Hands.
I've never even heard of this.
A really frosty black metal band.
Frosty.
Super grim. Reminds me of Immortal, early days of Immortal stuff so much, but with more melody. Mm. And they have Lovecraftian themes built into the
first album. Lovecraftian.
Yeah, they really did. As soon as I heard it, I was like, this might make top 10, and it came close. Myronath, Into the Culipoth is my number 12. Another one of the best black metal albums of the year, one that nobody's heard of at all. It's super dark, super fast, very brutal, lots of melody. They do some really interesting experimental things in the album.
Okay.
I love it. I just didn't have enough spots to put it in my top 10. Number 11 is probably going to be the one that you two disagree with the most.
Mm-hmm.
Insomnium, Heart Like a Grave.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Because I'm sure it's in both of your top 10 lists. The last album, when there were more black metal sounding, I liked better, personally. But this is such a good album.
I I like all of Insomnium styles. This is closer to like when I first got into them, like One for Sorrow style, which is probably why I love it so much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna spoil my list yet.
That's fair. I keep returning to it because I feel like I didn't give it a fair shot.
Yeah.
And there's
but it's high enough to be your number 11.
It's high enough to be my number 11. There's so many things on the album that I love, but there's just a few little things that keep it out of being my top 10.
All right. I can deal with that.
The title track, Heart Like a Grave, I absolutely love.
Yeah.
I listen to that song all the time.
Yeah. I'm excited. I got VIP tickets from them when they come next year.
I'm going to be at that show. I don't know if I'll be VIP, but I'll definitely be there.
It's going to be a good show.
But that's my 25 through 11. So those are all of my honorable mentions.
What about you, Sean? You ready?
Yeah, I mean, the one that actually didn't was the last one I crossed off my nominee pool was the album by Avatarium, The Fire I Long mm-hmm. For. It came too late, but it's made such an impact on me, but I listened to it in November.
There's Leif Edling is no longer involved in the band, but it was his side project originally. Yeah. And it still has that Candlemass doom.
Actually,
a little bit.
Yeah, it's there, but they really purposely seem to be drifting away from that into more... They incorporate so much more alternative country influence now, like stuff from like Nico Case and Lucinda Williams. So it's like, especially the title track of that album, which made my best songs list. It's such a it's just an artful, really gorgeous record, and dark and sad and stuff. And it's heavy in parts, but really they are definitely different from their first couple albums. They're changing. But that was such a great album, but it just came so late I couldn't justify knocking off Hellhorn, which is my number 10 album on the list. And, you know, I love that album. So
Hellhorn, I will tell you, is my number 13.
Yeah.
Phenomenal album. It's one of my favorite Death Doom albums of this year.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
What else do you got? Is that it?
I thought that Hammerfall released their best album in a decade with Dominion. I think the more I listen to it, the stronger it feels
for
me.
Sure.
It's the best thing they've done since Chapter 5, which back in 2005. Wow. It's really strong.
I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, I like it, but I think they've done albums just as good in that interim. But
yeah, you know, I've had problems with the rest of their albums, and so this is the first one where I was really snap back to attention. Like, yeah, you guys are on the right path here. That and then the Ancient Bards album that came out in March. I listened to it a lot. And I enjoyed it. The ballad made my best songs list in number 4, Light, which a lot of people said I was gutsy for putting that on there. Because it's such a Disney Frozen princess ballad. But I love it. But really just those I'll mention. Because everything else, you know, I think had a reason to be cut.
So, yeah. I guess we can go through some of mine.
Yeah.
I have so many on my list. I have top 50 and then honorable mentions.
Pages.
I have
pages.
Four printed pages here. But would you start at 25 or what did you start?
I did my 11 through 25.
All right. So I'm going to do that as well. 25 for me is In Mourning, Garden of Storms.
It's a good album.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal album.
It's one of my top 50 for sure.
I had problems with the middle of that album, but it was
it meanders a little bit.
It meanders a lot, I think.
But number 24 with Flotsam and Jetsam, The End of Chaos. They know how to write just fucking catchy metal. The song The End is probably one of my top 10 songs of the year. It's just I've always been a Flotsam head,
right?
And the last couple albums have been good, but this is just something about this album. They felt like they got a fire lit under their ass, and just this is so good.
I tried to listen to it several times because you recommended it so highly. I just couldn't click with me.
Well, yeah, I can see that. Flotsam and Jetsam, Eric A.K., he has a distinctive voice. And if you've been around with him for a long time, it's very – you're used to it. Yeah.
And they're not quite pure thrash these days.
No,
either.
It's like a
meat and potatoes metal attack, you know, almost. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Traditional.
I enjoyed the record because I remember I listened to it the night after we did the podcast on it. Where we talked about it, and I thought, yeah, this really, I would love to hear this live. I think that's those songs I'd like to hear live. You know?
Sure. So. I saw them with last time they came with was Hammerfall.
Yeah, that was a good, fun show.
That was a good show. Number 23 for me is October Tide.
I love
Splendor
that album.
Below.
I've gone back and listened to that album so many times, but it's like 80% an amazing album and 20% ugh.
I can see that. There's a few spots here and there. Yeah. Number 22, I feel like I'm just copying other people's list now, is Gate Creeper, Deserted.
It's really good.
It's a really good album. It's catchy death metal. They even said that in an interview, like, we write catchy music. We write catchy death metal. That's what we want. It's like, you know, Cannibal Corpse, and it's just, it just scratches that itch that I was looking for.
It's satisfyingly catchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're good at it.
21, I know this has been a lot of people's top 10, is a new Evergrey album, The Atlantic. It's a great, great album, all about the sea.
I think it's worse than their last two, though. I think it's the weakest of their last three albums. And,
well, I'm not going to get into that, but...
I know, but it didn't even make my top 50. I like it, but I don't love it, and I loved the past two.
Wow. All right. The song Weightless is what does it for me. Moving on, an album that wasn't in my top 20 until recently, the new Sabaton, The Great War. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get into this album. And I went back and listened to it. I went back and listened to the orchestral version they did, which led me back to the actual album. And I was like, oh, this is a good album. I didn't know what it was about the album when I first heard it. I guess I wasn't in the mood, or there was just something about it that didn't click.
That's kind of how I feel about it too. The first few times I listened to it, I wasn't in the right mindset.
I was like, it's more of the same.
Eventually I started liking it more though.
Yeah, it was number 8 on my list.
Okay, number 19 for me, I don't want to call it a joke band, but it's a side project band. It's Beelzebubs.
It's a fun album.
Pantheon of the Nightside God, yeah.
It's good for what it is, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it
it's it Insomnia and doing black metal.
It takes itself a little too seriously in some places, but overall, it's one of the most fun albums released this year.
Yeah. Moving on before, this is probably not anybody else's list. Life of Agony, The Sound of Scars. This was my most anticipated album of the year, really, and did not live up to what I was hoping or expecting. Maybe the first 40% of the album, it's really fucking good. And it really goes off the rails for a while. And then it comes back and it goes away. It's not my favorite Life of Agony album by any means. I really want to like it more because it's a sequel to River Runs Red, which is my favorite album from them. And it picks up, like, the first three songs pick up the same day as where the last album left off, and story-wise. So, and that's the best part of the album. The rest of it is sort of,
I'm sure I listened
not
to
good.
It, but I don't think I gave it enough of a chance to put it there.
Okay, moving on. Number 17 for me was Black Therapy. You mentioned that before.
It's a great album.
Great album. Number 16, another band that you mentioned, was Hammerfall.
Mm-hmm.
Dominion. Catchy as fuck. Still love their music videos, even though they're cheesy. And they're supposed to be cheesy. Everything is done in, like, After Effects. And right. They're standing there with, like, the demon behind them. That's what makes them so great. I'm looking forward to seeing them next year again live, too. Yeah. Third time in like 3 years.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Moving on to number 15, Death Angel, Humanicide.
Man, I really was out on that record.
I wanted to like it more. I really did.
I wanted to like it more too, because there's elements of every single song that are just awesome. But then it's not cohesive enough. It's like they go off on these weird tangents that kind of ruins the songs.
I can agree. I'm a big Death Angel fan. I got to see them live last month. And a few of the songs they play from the new album, they really hit, but some of them just don't.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's still a good thrash album.
Yeah,
an enjoyable album.
It's a good background album when you're doing other things, but it's not really one you can dedicate yourself to.
It's not their best album since they've made their return.
Yeah.
One of my top 10 albums of all time is Death Angel Act 3. Cannot get enough of that album. Yeah. It's just one of my favorite albums of all time.
The one they released before this actually made my top 10 list. It made number 10 on that year's list.
And me too.
I really love the hell out of that album. So,
moving on, number 14 is Wormwitch. It just squeaked in there. I've listened to that so many times.
Only listening to it for 3 weeks for it to be in your top 15 is a pretty good testament to how good it is.
Yeah, it really is. If you heard it earlier on the show, if you haven't heard more of it, go out and listen to it. It's a really an amazing black and death, melodic death.
They do a lot of experimental stuff, which is what I love. And they stick to landing on all the experimental stuff, which most of the other bands that are trying strange and bizarre new things in black metal aren't really succeeding at.
Yeah. Moving on, number 13 we mentioned is Hellhorn. One of my favorite Death Doom albums of this year. They are such talented songwriters, and everything, their tone, everything about them is just phenomenal.
If you like Moonspell, you should really check them out. I see so many parallels there with them. Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah. Especially in that guitar.
It's really bright guitar sounding.
Guitar sound.
Number 12 for me is Gloryhammer, Legend from Beyond Terror Vortex. I never said I was going to like this band.
It was a fun record.
The reason I put it at number 12 for me is because I put it, these are song albums that I've gone back to so many times, just multiple times. And if I probably count, I probably listened to this album like 20, 25 times this year. Right. It's just a lot of fun to listen to. There's a fun story involved. It's all science fiction-y. You go back and listen to Alestorm now, and it's like, oh, it sounds like a Gloryhammer song. With a little bit of, more piratey sounding.
Yeah.
Legend of the, what is it?
Galactic Terror Vortex.
No, the song, the Enchanted Jetpack.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking love that song. It's so fun.
The song Gloryhammer made my best.
Gloryhammer's good
list,
too.
Made number 10 of my best songs list, yeah.
Phenomenal band.
An undeniable song.
Number 11 for me is my favorite Opeth album this year, Lucidity, Oceanum.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The best Opeth album this year.
Good call.
It's
not made by Opeth.
Not made by Opeth. It's not even the top five of albums that sound like Opeth made by Opeth this year. Not going there, but I fucking love Lucidity. It's what Opeth should be and what their fans want them to be. Even though we know a lot of Opeth fans that are really into the new album, I like it. It's just not, I don't think it's even touched my top 50.
It's not in mine. I listened to it 6 times, I think, because I just wanted it to be good, but it just...
It's boring. Well, you can just say it. It's boring.
It's boring, yeah.
Let's just say it. It's boring.
Okay, elephants in the room. I'm just going to go through some of my quick list real quick, because I've got to, man. Majestica.
Yeah, it was a fun record. It was fun. Starts out good, and then it kind of fades in the second half.
And they do the Spaceballs theme song. Come on.
Yeah, it was fun.
Isolé. I'm going to put these two together, Isolé and Erebaltor, both of the brand new albums.
I like the Erebaltor.
I like the Erebaltor also.
Quite a bit.
It's in my top 50.
It was the one Blackened thing I really was all about this year.
It's two of the same members are in the same band.
Yeah.
So, I haven't heard the other one. Maybe I'll check them out.
It's very traditional doom metal. Fucking great, though. One of my favorite songs of the year is on that Isolé album. Diabolical. There's parts of that album that keep it away from being better.
No, like there are masterful moments
in
that album.
Agreed.
There's like 5 songs on that album that are just astonishingly good for this being their first album. But the title track,
I actually like the title track.
The entire album for me, because they're sitting there chanting "We are diabolical" over and over again, and I'm just like, why are you doing this and ruining what could be a great album?
I actually enjoy that song.
Oh, my God.
Eternal Storm. Have you guys heard this?
Yes. It's really good.
Yes.
Top 50 for me, for sure.
My friend Mark actually turned me on to it. He texted me one day. He's like, have you heard this band yet? I was like, I have not, but...
I discovered them very late, and I think if I had more time, they would have been higher up.
You mentioned Bremer. They're on my list. Another band that is very mellow death, Blood Red Hourglass.
They were in my top 10.
Were they in top 10?
When I first heard them, and they've slowly gotten pushed further and further down. They didn't even make my top 25, but they're definitely my top 50. That's a terrible name for a band. It makes it sound like you hear it and you're like, oh, this is going to be mall metal. Like,
right. No, totally.
Like, you're prejudiced against it from the name at the get-go. But the album is actually great.
Disillusion?
Fantastic.
Have you heard Disillusion?
I don't remember that.
That's the one he was playing earlier.
Okay.
If you're talking about like later Moonspell, very later Moonspell style. Candlemass. I thought this was going to be way fucking higher on my list.
Yeah.
It's not great.
I tried, man. I really tried. Where we had this conversation about this in the podcast?
We did. I'm still looking forward to seeing them live because they're one of my favorite Doom bands of all time.
Especially if the set list is just mostly old stuff, which I imagine it will be.
I mean, it's still good stuff on this album, right. For sure. Yeah. I mean, they got fucking nominated for a Grammy. That doesn't really mean anything, but right. They still got nominated for a Grammy. That's good. The New Sewin.
Yeah, we talked about that. It was great.
Can't get into that band.
Really?
Yeah.
The other album, another album on
It's a Better Opeth album.
Better Opeth album, yeah. The other, we'll get to the other one. Crypt Sermon.
It's a really good mainstream metal album.
Very power metal-y.
Yeah.
Illimitable Dolor.
I have not heard that.
I remember.
It is.
Congratulations.
Slow, epic, doom metal to the nth degree, and it's fucking amazing.
I remember we played them in the podcast.
We did. Yeah. No song is under like 9, 10, 12, 13 minutes. Yeah. Very hard. It's such a good album, though. Memoriam.
I love that album.
Such a great fucking album.
Yeah.
Carl Willits. That's his name, right?
Yeah.
Bolt-thrower.
Yeah.
Idle Hands in my list there. The Ferryman is on my list.
Ferryman's super fun.
Such a great album. This is the second album, too.
Yeah, I found them randomly, like, October.
Oh, yeah.
I've been listening to them off and on ever since.
Overkill is on my list there. I'm a huge Overkill fan.
There are good things about it, but it's not for me.
I'm an Overkill nerd, and I'm going to go see them when they come with Exhorter. It's going to be fun. It's March or April. Yeah.
See, every show is
on. I know. Voyager. Have you heard the new Voyager?
I am aware of this band. I liked one of their earlier records.
Yes.
I just didn't listen to this one this year.
This new album, it's a little bit different. It's very proggy, prog metal. They're from Australia.
Yeah.
But this album has more in common with Depeche Mode than anything else.
That's interesting.
It's really good. I think you would actually really dig it.
Sort of like what the Over did with that recent record.
A little bit more heavier, though.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit more guitars.
Yeah.
But very proggy, Depeche Mode. It's really good.
Yeah.
Aphenamer is on my list there. I'm still going to call it that. Bloody Hammers is on my list.
You want to talk about the second coming of Ghost.
Bloody Hammers, yeah.
I really like that album, but...
Catchy ass song.
You can tell it's their first album.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like talent there, but they haven't shored everything up. Like, I feel like their sophomore album is going to like really propel them to success.
The next band on my list is Strigoi.
I like some things on that album, but I couldn't get into it like you did.
It's his death metal version of Paradise Lost. That's more than Paradise Lost death metal. You know what I mean? It's really good. A local band actually made my list, The Scourge.
Hmm.
This is balls to the wall.
It was a good record.
Traditional fucking just thrash metal.
It was a genuinely good album.
It reminds me of, this is nothing but praise for these guys. It reminds me of late 90s thrash metal where they experimented a lot.
Yeah, well, I could see that.
It's so good. Check it out. It's called The Scores. The album is Warrant for Execution. The next band is actually playing Hell's Heroes, and that's the full title of the band is The Lord Weird Slaufe.
Yeah.
But they just go by Slaufe now.
Yeah.
New Organon, it's phenomenal traditional metal album. Very 70s sounding influenced.
Yeah.
It's really good. And then some traditional balls to the wall power metal, Freedom Call, metal. There's some really good songs on here, but the entire album didn't really catch my attention.
That's kind of Freedom Call's MO. I think they only have one really good or really great album front to back. It's Beyond, 2015
yes.
Beyond.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's a couple good songs in here, and then there's some really just baffling stuff. So
my best live album of the year was Helloween.
Yeah, I don't think I listened to any live records this year.
You know, I didn't either.
I rarely do, But United Alive in Madrid, even the Blu-ray, which the CD is different than the Blu-ray. The Blu-ray is taken from all over. The CD is just one show, one which concert. Is weird. But
it
yeah.
really makes you wonder if people like us aren't listening to live records. Like, who is?
Somebody. They keep making them.
Yep. And I have a huge list of honorable mentions. We're not going to get into that.
That's fair.
Y'all could look at that later.
Yeah.
But let's get into the next song that we're going to play on the show. And that is a band that I mentioned earlier that I'm going to go see in a few months, Exorder. Do you know where this is on my list?
It's got to be top 10 because you didn't say it.
It is in my top 10. It's album number 4 for me.
Wow.
Wow.
I am addicted to this new Exorder album.
It's actually not that surprising because I've heard you mention this band.
Yeah, I've heard you mention it a few times as well.
It's called More in the Southern Skies. This is the first album in like 25 plus years. Kyle Thomas is a great thrash vocalist. He's also the vocalist of Trouble now.
Right.
Been a fan of his for a long time. Just a great album. Everybody's heard the story. This is where Pantera stole their sound after they started to change, all that kind of shit. And you can definitely hear it. The song we're going to play is called Yesterday's Bones. The last 2 minutes of this song, it just goes down to this melody breakdown. It's my favorite 2 minutes of music this whole year.
All right.
So let's get into Exorder, Yesterday's Bones from More in the Southern Skies. We'll be back.
Keep the peace that haunts today.
Welcome back to episode number 231 of MSRcast, our annual 2019 rewind. We're not our annual 2019 rewind, just our annual rewind.
Rewind.
We've talked about a lot of the albums that are, you know, have been our top album so far. And we just got finished listening to something that was on that Justin picked out. This is Mephorash.
Yes. Mephorash. Mephorash. That song was called Relics of Elohim. And it's from the album Shem HaMephorash, which is actually my number two album of the year.
Wow, really?
Yeah. I've listened to this album something like 39 times, I believe it was.
It sounds like Behemoth.
Okay, so...
For sure.
This album, of all the albums I've listened to since 2014, is the one that I can most closely compare to The Satanist.
I was about to say that.
Which is my favorite album of the decade.
Yeah. Which leads us to, we're going to have to do our albums of the decade sometime.
We can.
Are you ready for that?
I'm ready for that.
I've avoided even thinking about it.
Well, putting it in your head, let's start preparing.
That was actually easier than my 2019 list.
Wow. Yeah.
But speaking of the reference to The Satanist, when I first heard that album, I didn't really get what all the hype was about, and I kept listening to it, and at about the third or fourth listen, it clicked in my head, and ever since then... One of my favorite albums of the decade, like my favorite album of the decade. I love The Satanist. This album had the exact same effect on me. The first time I heard it, I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. They're doing some interesting things, you know, whatever. At about the third listen, it clicked in my head, and I was just like, had an epiphany about how good it really is.
These guys are from Sweden,
mm-hmm.
and they sing about Jewish occultism.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
It is. The title of the album is Shem HaMephorash, which loosely translates to the true name of God. And the true name of God is supposed to be 72 syllables long or something like that. So they made the album 72 minutes long and they made it one continuous song that is broken up into separate songs.
And Elohim is actually the Hebrew terminology for God.
Right. There's a lot of...
Well, it's one of the terminologies.
One of them. There's several different
several.
Ones. And I mean, you see that kind of stuff referenced in Behemoth and other bands as well. But they really did a lot of research. And if you watch some of their live performances, they put on an amazing stage show. Huh. They come out in white cloaks. And I mean, they're really committed to their act. It's a fantastic album. And if you haven't listened to it, you need to all the way through. Give it at least two or three listens and see if it clicks with you the way it did with me. I can't get enough of it. I keep going back to it. I'll probably listen to it on the way home from here, to be honest with you. Like, it's fantastic. It's the best black metal album of the year, in my opinion.
All right. You sold me on it. I'll listen to it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I'll check it out for sure.
I mean, if it gets compared to The Satanist, it's got to be good, right?
That's right. Before that, we had Exhorter from New Orleans, Louisiana. Yesterday's Bones from Mourn the Southern Skies. Phenomenal thrash album. It's one of my favorites of this year. It was not my number four. It's just addicting. This album is just addicting. You know that sometimes you listen to an album and you just like start getting bored of it? I never get bored of listening to this album.
Yeah, everything that's in my top 10 has a lot of replay value.
Yes.
And I think that's what I look for when I'm making my top 10 list. It has to be an album that you have to listen to multiple times to get everything out of. And like Mephorash, for example, I've listened to it 37 times and I still am getting things out of it at this point. So, I mean...
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
37.
Yeah. In a row.
Yeah, I mean, and I think...
Little Clark's joke there for you guys.
That's the best way of keeping yourself honest. Like, just really thinking about, like, actually, what did I really listen to the most? Either because of I was trying to get into it or because I just enjoyed it and I had to listen to it, like, you know, for whatever.
That's what my top albums are, is the albums that I enjoyed the most. It might not have been the best album of the year, according to other people, but I don't care. I don't care about that. I care about what made me happiest.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. That's what everybody should do.
That's what everybody should do. I mean, you look at most major metal sites, review sites, and it's all
the same shit. They try to...
Cattle Decapitation, Tomb Mold, you know, it's like the same things.
And those are good albums. I've listened to them.
They're good. They're both in my top 50, but they're nowhere near my top because they're just generic death metal albums that have a little bit of weird quirkiness to them. They don't do anything truly original.
And you just sort of wonder, like, with metal being, I get why Idle Hands is on there, but like when there's so many albums ending up on the same list,
mm-hmm.
you wonder about like the idea of like a individual list versus a publications list. and how some individuals' lists also mirror those publications.
Right.
Lists. And you're just sort of like, there's so much to listen to in metal. There's so much. There's such a very different style. We were listening to this song by Mephorash, and it sounds totally different to the Freedom Call song we're going to be playing in a little bit.
It's mm-hmm. totally different than the Exhorter song was right
but,
before.
But they're all metal, so yeah. there's something for everyone in this genre.
Exactly right. True.
But when you see the same things ended up on the same list, you're just sort of – it makes you a little bit more cynical, I think, about that.
It does, and especially when it's an album like the Cattle Decapitation album, which is good. But it's really not that different from anything Cannibal Corpse has ever done. It's just not. It's just generic death metal with some, like, slight melodies added to it. I mean, have these people never listened to a real mellow death album?
Right. You wonder.
Yeah.
Let's get into our tops.
Yes,
let's do that. What's your number? We'll start with the Metal Pigeon over here. What's your number 10?
Was the Hell of Horn record.
Was the Hell of Horn.
Yeah.
All right. What is Justin's number 10?
Cloak, the Burning Dawn.
It made my honorable mentions.
Okay. It's Black and Roll.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people have attempted, and not very many have done very well. I loved To Venomous Depths, which was their 2017 album. I followed them very closely. I watched all the preview clips and everything they were doing leading up to this album. It was my most anticipated album of the year. I'm a top fan for these guys on Facebook. I talk to them all the time. And it's such a good album. Like, it's fun from beginning to end. I've gone back and listened to it at least 20 times by this point. Can't get enough of it. I look forward to seeing what these guys do in the future because they have a lot of room for growth. But at the same time, they're doing things that nobody else is doing right now.
My number 10 is Bortnagar, True North.
Interesting.
Yes.
Did Kim make you put that on?
No, she did not. Was not forced by anybody. It's probably my wife's number one album of the decade. No, second album of the decade.
Winter
number
Thrice
one was Winter Thrice.
Yeah.
I agree Winter Thrice is better, but they try so many new... They try a lot of progressive stylings on this album that I really like and appreciate. I really dig this album, and we get to see them live.
Yeah, I'm excited
first
about
time
that.
First time I've seen them live in 20 years... First time my wife has seen him live. I bought her Christmas present for me was tickets to see Bortnagar. And her Christmas present to me, mine to her was Bortnagar, and her to me was Devin Townsend.
Sounds fair.
So we bought tickets for each other.
Yeah, that's good.
It works. She's so excited to see Bortnagar. I wish they were doing a VIP. I would have bought her tickets for that.
True North, the first probably three times I listened to it, I was just utterly disappointed.
No.
I liked the title track. And I liked things about it, but it wasn't what I expected. I went into it expecting more Winter Thrice.
Right. It's not.
And it's
not.
It's not
Winter Thrice.
I laid off of it. I didn't listen to it for a few months, and then I sort of revisited it. And slowly, I've grown to really appreciate it. And it is a really good album. It's in my top 50 for sure.
It's a prog album. I don't know how different you can say it is. It's
yeah.
It's a prog album written by... A black metal band.
They really the absence of Vinnersorg in that lineup really shifted that sound. Like they really,
yeah.
I think they started taking. They did things, took chances, elevated the keyboardist to a vocalist position, did a lot of different things to a co-vocalist position, did a lot of things that they wouldn't have done with Vinnersorg there. I am surprised by the album and I enjoy it whenever I hear it, but I don't ever want to like have that feeling where I'm like, oh, I need to go back and listen to this again.
I can see that.
Last song on the record, Voices, is a really interesting song.
That is a very different song. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about number 9 for you?
Was the Frozen Crown, Crowned in Frost.
I thought you were going to say the Frozen soundtrack.
Let it go again.
They're a power metal band from Italy. They're young and they mix melodeth riffs with power metal.
Yeah, we played them on the show before.
And they had an album out last year that was their debut that was really good and it was knocking on my top 10.
I really enjoy a Frozen Crown and Coke.
I've listened to them since I saw you post your list online and I do enjoy them.
Yeah.
They're probably not in my top 50 because I didn't really devote a lot of time to them.
Right.
But I did enjoy the album.
Yeah. I think that Giada Etro, she's one of the best power metal vocalists
Giada.
In the scene right now. Yeah.
What about your number 9?
Number 9 for me is Afanimer, Procopton. They're great. We've said a lot about them already, though.
My number 9 is Nephilim Grove from November's Doom. Not just because I know the guys and I'm fans of them, but it's a great fucking Death Doom album. It's not my favorite album from them in their career. I really enjoy this album.
We didn't get to talk about this album.
We have not.
Yeah,
I've talked to about it with them, but
right,
not with
yeah.
you.
Yeah, we didn't get to talk about this one. Yeah, this one just didn't do it for me.
Really?
I mean, you know that the last one, Hamarda,
yeah,
made my list.
Yeah.
This one, I was just baffled by.
Why?
I don't know why. Just nothing sank in. I tried to.
I like the single from the album. I can't remember the name of it because it comes up in my Spotify list sometimes. But the album as a whole, I agree with Sean. Like, I couldn't really get into it.
This is where we'll just agree to disagree. That's fine. Number eight. What is your number eight?
Sabaton, The Great War.
Oh, it's in your top 10.
It made my top 10 because I think it's one of their best albums ever. And I think that the fact that the subject matter, World War One,
ever really
was, yeah, I think it's on par with the Art of War, or maybe just below the Art of War.
Wow,
and maybe right next to Kairos Rex, because the World War One subject matter forced their songwriting to go darker. And what they really should discover from this album is that when those guys do darker songwriting stuff, it really opens up their sound in a new way. The last album was so one-dimensional, The Last Stand, because everything was about heroism, and and so every song was delivered in this major key kind
and
of
bright
style,
and happy. Bright and happy. Yeah.
And this album is dark, and it's in the mud, and it's gritty, and it's intense. And the guy from Majestica, Tommy Johansson, that guy is the best thing to happen in this lineup. Yeah. The guitar playing in this album is the best they've ever had in the Sabaton record. Yeah,
I do agree. It took me a long time to get back into this album. Maybe I was just out of the band for a while, and when the new album came, I'm like, a new Sabaton album.
The Last Stand was such a disappointing record. Even
I think it was.
Album, you know, so this was a surprising return. And I think Seven Pillars of Wisdom, that was my number two song of the year. It's such a fantastic, epic, heroic song. No one does that better than these guys. So.
What about you?
For me, it's Running Christ, The Heretics.
Really?
So, I was never a huge fan of Running Christ. Like
neither is Dave Mustaine.
Their previous albums, I didn't really like that much. And then I heard Fire, God, and Fear.
Yeah, it's a good song.
And it's probably the catchiest song I've heard this year. It'll randomly just pop into my head no matter what I'm doing. And I kept going back to it over and over again. I listened to the whole album over and over again. And I tried really hard not to put this album in my top 10 list because it does have a lot of flaws, but it's probably the album that my brain has gone to the most out of all the albums that I listened to and been like, man, I really want to listen to that. And I would just put it on. So it deserves a spot just for that reason. In my opinion, like I thoroughly enjoy this album. There's some flaws, like I said, but, it's a lot of fun, and this take on their sound I actually like way better than anything I had heard of theirs previous. So I hope they continue this direction.
Very cool. Yeah, we're going to get to see them live with Bortnagar.
Yes.
It's going to be a great tour.
I'm very excited for that show.
My number eight is a band that just makes me happy. There's something about this band and this album that I just get enjoyment from listening to, and that's The Great Antiquation from Meadows End.
Yeah, I like the band.
The way you said it, I'm like, yeah. Come on.
I like it. I just don't love
Keep
it.
Keep on going. Okay. That's fine.
We played them on the show. We talked about them a lot.
It's just an album I go back to all the time. It just makes me happy. It's just a fun, mellow death album. A lot of keyboard-heavy melodies. It's just fun.
Yeah.
I actually really love the album. Mellow Death has always been like one of my two primary metal genres. Yeah. And I think it's a fantastic album, but I feel like there was a lot better Mellow Death albums this year. So it ended up kind of near the bottom of my top 50.
When it first came out, it was higher in my list, and it got pushed back for sure. But the more I went back and listened to it recently again, I'm like, okay, this is one album that is just staying in my top 10 because I just enjoy it that much. Listen to it a lot.
I mean, I listened to the Blood Red Hourglass album way more than I listened to that one. I kept going back to that one. It's the same sort of thing. It's very upbeat, lots of keyboards. Yeah. But I thought it was better put together than the Meadows End album. And I just feel like there was better Mellow Death albums. It was good, though. I really enjoy it.
Okay, moving on to number seven for Mr. Metal Pigeon.
Manigarm, Fornald Arsagor. This is a great folk metal record.
It's like number 26 or number 27 for me.
Sailed under the radar for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But it was this band has been they've been releasing kind of clunkers for the past couple of years, and I was sort of out on them, and this one just kind of hit me out of nowhere, and it was just one of those albums where I just would find myself on, especially when I was driving, when I would play it.
It's a good driving album.
And it was just it's got some really beautiful folk stuff, which they've always been good at. But they really nailed the metal stuff this time, and there's a viciousness to these tracks that really hit, and the guitar sound is great, and he always sounds great. So, great record, underrated.
I love that album too. Just FYI, yeah. It's like I said, 26 or 27. It's right on the cusp of my top 25. My number seven was not a happy album. It's worse than Curse to Witness Life.
No, not a happy album at all.
No. It's one of the darkest black metal albums of the year. It's really dark, really depressing, really bleak. Of all of the like pure black metal albums I listened to this year, MGLA, this one, Myronath, like I feel like these guys are the most unique. They do a lot of very, very interesting things with black metal that is not necessarily related to melody or adding in other instruments like you wouldn't expect. Because typically when you do interesting things, it's like adding in saxophones or things like that. These guys are pure black metal, but they do so many interesting things with the toning of their guitars and like the unique riffs they take. I just couldn't get enough of this album for like 4 months. Like I listened to it nonstop for like 4 months. So I love it.
All right. My number seven is Nailed to Obscurity, Black Frost.
That's a great album,
too. We're going to play a song from that album a little bit later, but yeah, just something about this album just clicked immediately with me. His vocal style, the melodies, the guitar tone, everything about this. I don't want to really call this Melodeath or Blackened or there's a little bit of everything. It's just a great album. I don't want to say phenomenal again because I said that a lot earlier. But it really is a phenomenal album, and that is why it's my number seven. Please go check it out if you haven't heard it yet. But number six?
Insomnium, Heart Like a Grave.
Oh.
I love this album so much. It would have been in the top five and possibly number one in any other year.
Yeah.
But there's just too much competition this year. Mm. But I mean, for me, I really loved Winter's Gate. I did. I think it was a really great work of art.
Oh, yeah.
But it's interesting to see how well this album turned out, Heart Like a Grave, compared to Shadows of a Dying Sun, which I really do feel is kind of like a weak effort. I think there's good songs on it, but I think overall it was weak. And I think that for that album to be the follow-up to One for Sorrow, which we both love and think is one of the best albums of the decade, I would say.
Yeah. Agreed.
It seemed like they had just sort of run out of steam after that album, and Shadows suffered. And so when they did Winter's Gate, it's like, okay, you step away from that classic Insomnium sound, and you do something different. And mm-hmm. It actually recharged them creatively. So when they came back to this album, they re-embraced – they went further in embracing that kind of Finnish melancholic, you know, melody, like it, that kind
well,
of –
Well, they went through a lot of shit in that period too. Yeah. That sort of fueled the melancholy and the depression and all that.
And
you can feel it on this album.
You can hear that kind of amorphous, sentenced influence greater in this record than any other album, including One for Sorrow. And I'm not saying it's better than One for Sorrow, but I really think this album has some of their most spectacular moments on there.
Mm-hmm.
And like the title track, Heart Like a Grave, is one of the best songs, maybe the best song they've ever written. And the new guy, who is actually the ex Sonata Arctica guitarist,
right?
Yanni is the perfect fit for the band, and I think he's going to be like a great asset in the future.
So weird to say that he's such, the guy from Sonata Arctica is now in Insomnium
because Yanni, people don't realize that he
not really, that Yanni
he really was the like instrumental member in Sonata Arctica and making them that what they were special. Mm-hmm. And in fact, he had an album come out this year with Annette Olzon, the ex Nightwish singer.
Really?
The band called The Dark Element. And it's really fun.
Oh, is he on that?
Yeah. And it's basically like him continuing what he was doing with Kane's Offering with Timo Kotipelto.
Yeah, I like that album.
It's basically just a continuation of that project with a different vocalist.
Yeah. I really like the Dark Element.
It's so fun.
It's not good enough to make my top 10 list or anywhere close to it.
But it's addictive.
But it's addictive. It is super fun. I go, especially like this album and the last album were both really good.
And you listen to it. Then
yeah,
for sure.
I can't imagine what Insomnium's going to do with that guy.
Didn't Sonata Arctica put an album out this year?
They did. It's not good.
No, it's not. Right?
It's one of the. It's the biggest.
You're disappointed.
It's the biggest disappointment of the year. Or well, it's in the list for biggest disappointment of the year.
What else was on your biggest disappointment? Disappointment.
That was chief among them. I mean, uh-huh. I think that I didn't end up liking that Queensrÿche record as much as I thought.
I don't think I ever listened to it.
Maybe once or twice.
It wasn't.
Well, so we didn't talk about this when it came out, but it's not a disappointment per se, but I am disappointed with the way they executed it, which was the Blind Guardian orchestral project.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think that they.
I'm surprised that you would say that.
My basic thesis for this, for why they failed, is that they chose a story. They chose. Okay. The album is a sequel to a novel. It's not like they made songs based on this novel. The album storyline is the damn direct sequel to the novel. And why are you trying to tell an entire story that should be in a novel in an album? And it fucked up the songs, basically. Because when you try to tell a plot through songs, you can't do both. You can't have great melodies and tell a plot.
Do you think it would have been better if they based it off of something else, like Lord of the Rings or an original story or something?
I think it would have been if they had based it on the novel that it was, that it turned out to be a sequel to. If they just did that,
what's the novel?
It's The Dark Lands by Marcus Heitz. He's a German author.
Oh, okay.
But they tried to tell a plot. They tried to have it be like a plot carrying device.
Yeah, it's a narrative driven album.
So you sacrifice melodies because you're trying to tell a story, and you don't end up doing very well in either. So, yeah, it was unfortunate. Although I will say, having said that, I enjoy tremendous amounts of it, but I also hate a lot of it, too, or really dislike, I'll say. Yeah,
hate's a strong word.
I mean, it's an album I listened to like 2 times and then never went back to. So,
and I don't blame you. I mean, it's hard to get into.
Yeah.
Hate leads to suffering. Is that right?
I long for the classic Sonata Arctica days. Like, I would love to have some Ecliptica era type stuff come back.
Well, yeah, I mean, Talvio was just, that band is out to lunch somewhere, and yeah.
So what number are we on? Were you number 6?
That was number 6.
Number 6 for you.
My number 6 is, in my opinion, the best atmospheric black metal album this year. Imperium Decadence, When We Are Forgotten. It is an album.
I've never heard this.
You haven't listened to it?
No, I have not.
Oh my God, dude, you got to. I mean, it's a very dark, depressive sort of album, but it's two guys from Germany that do every single thing on the album. They do all the drums, all the guitars, everything, just two dudes. It's beautiful and sad and melodic and just dark and heavy, and it permeates every bit of the music. It's just the atmosphere just comes through so well in this album. I love it. It's probably my second or third most played album this year. Not always when I'm in a bad mood, but I usually go to it when I'm in a bad mood. But it's just fantastic. If you like atmospheric black metal, it's one you have to check out. And I feel like it's a masterpiece. I feel very strongly that the entire album is amazing. And I went back and listened to their previous album because this is their sophomore one. And their previous album is almost as good as this one.
Wow.
So they're a band you need to be aware of.
Okay. My number 6 is a band called Wilderun.
Mm-hmm.
The album is called Veil of Imagination. It is my favorite Opeth album of this year.
Yeah.
It is so well written, such an epic album. It's the guy used to be an Immortal Bird.
Right.
It's just
shocking, actually. It's strange.
Right.
It's just like, what?
Different.
Yeah.
I don't know. This album just skyrocketed up my list like super quickly. Have you heard this yet?
I've listened to it 7 times.
Okay.
I have not had the same reaction you've had to it.
Oh, apparently not.
It's been getting mixed.
Part of it is the guy's voice. Something about his voice is just off to me.
The Queen vocals?
Yeah. Huh. I don't really like his... There's just too many Queen vocals, too, which is part of it. Like, when I listen to metal, I'm not a clean singing guy.
I like
the growls. I like
a little bit of both. I do like singing.
I like a mix, but I don't want it to be 90% clean vocals, 10% growls. I want it to be more even than that, or at least slightly skewed one way or the other.
It's interesting because my criticism of the album is that I don't like his growls.
Yeah.
Well, they're so rare. They're so rare on the album. There's moments in the album that are great. But there are other parts that are really boring to me. And
that's the parts that are not boring to me.
Matt Ryan, our friend Matt. He and I had a dialogue about it on Facebook, and he's like, "You're insane. It's not in your top 10. It should be your number one." And I'm just like, you know what? I'll listen to it another couple times just to make sure I'm not wrong. And I did. And I had the same feeling about it. It's boring.
It's
in
okay,
places.
Though. Everybody has different opinions.
Yeah.
It's okay if your opinion is wrong.
It's epic. I'll give you that.
It is epic.
There's some very great moments in the album, but it's just not for me.
Fair enough. That's okay. Doesn't have to be for you. Doesn't have to be for everybody.
Yeah.
It's for me.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
And apparently it's for Matt Ryan.
Yeah. It's his favorite album, apparently.
They made it for you and Matt.
So that's our number six. We're going to hold off on our top five. We're going to get into the next break of music, which is an album that's very high on my list, not to spoil anything, but Swallow the Sun, one of my favorite bands of all time, really top 10 band for me. Here on the Black Earth is the song that you picked from the album.
Yep.
When a Shadow Was Forced Into the Light. You haven't mentioned where this is on your list yet, but we're going to get to that.
All right.
So let's get into Swallow the Sun, and we'll be right back.
Ripped apart, the flesh of my bones.
Welcome back to MSRcast 231, and the variety that we have in this playlist is staggering.
You know, I just had a call. Somebody called me. You know what it's for?
No.
It was for freedom.
Yeah? Were they selling unicorns?
Cost $1.05. Yeah, Freedom Call. The new album is Metal, M-E-T-A-L. This is the first album, what, 3 years, something like that? Not their best album.
No.
Beyond, I think we mentioned earlier, Beyond is still their pinnacle there.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But I enjoy this album. It's fun.
It's got some fun songs. Yeah.
It does. I always play this song in the car. My wife's like, oh, God, not the song on Ace of the Unicorn. It's just the way he sings Unicorn, it's just it's so catchy and so fun. It's the epitome of just, you know, fun power metal.
Yeah. Freedom Call are the originators of the flower metal, the tag designation that gets applied to them in Power Quest. And I think it's just...
Flower metal?
Yeah, it's like a, you know, negative connotation. For me, I just
I don't think so.
Like, look, Freedom Call, you're either going to like them or hate them or just want to run away from them. I mean, I think a song on this album, like One Step Into Wonderland... It's just a song that sometimes you need to hear in your day to make you feel
sure.
Better,
yeah.
To cheer you up.
Chris Bey has a solo album out too.
Don't listen to the Chris Bey solo.
I was
going to
say that, but
it's bad.
It's they're German power metal to the nth degree. If you like Halloween. If you like super happy, peppy, catchy AF German power metal.
And you nailed that because the Freedom Call specifically takes its influence from the happiest part of Halloween.
For sure.
Not the dark part.
Right.
The happiest
part. Not the dark ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. I like Freedom Call. This is not my favorite album of the year by any means. But
I think a band like this is metal as hell, like more than like extreme metal bands, because to do this music that everyone pretty much in the metal scene thinks is like dorky and just lame and whatever, and to stick to your guns for all these years and do it and not give a shit about
and do it well
about you and do it well and just do it and exist. That's metal as hell.
So on the totally opposite of Freedom Call, before that we had Swallow the Sun.
Yeah.
Let's get into our top five before I spoil anything.
Yeah.
Number five for you, sir. What is number five?
Swallow the Sun.
Is it number five?
Yeah, number five.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been higher up there, but honestly, this album was so emotionally charged that I often found myself not wanting to listen to it because of that. Mm. And I think that sort of pushed it down a little bit.
I think others. Yeah, I can definitely see that. I enjoy everything about Swallow the Sun. They're one of my top 10 bands. I wear a Swallow the Sun hoodie almost every day when it's cold outside. It's melancholy. It's sad. It's just good. It makes you. It's weird to say that, but it makes you feel better, a little bit better about yourself to go through these emotions. It's cathartic, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It definitely is.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about this album, not only were these some of the most inspired songs he's mm-hmm. ever written, Juha, but it's also like easily the best lyrical world he's created.
Yeah.
The lyrics on this album, if you're wondering what the best lyrical album is of the year, this was it. Because everyone knows the backstory behind this album, so we don't have to get into that. But the metaphors he used.
Let's get into it real quick. I mean, not everybody might not know.
I mean, it's from a real tragedy.
It is.
You know, he lost his fiance to cancer. So he's still going through that. And he's been going through it for a few albums now, from Trees of Eternity to Halitar. Because, you know, the last.
You've heard Halitar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But, well, I mean, real tragedy typically leads to the best albums. I mean,
yeah.
Referring back to the Satanist, like everything Nurgle went through, like,
right. Yeah.
Same deal here.
Yeah.
I mean, agreed.
And the Trees of Eternity record was incredible. And Halitar was, you know, very obviously emotionally charged there. That was like a really angry album. And this is a very, I don't know. It's like there, it's almost hopeful in a way with this record,
mm-hmm.
but it's still in the depths there, you know? So
it came out somewhere in my 30s. Like, I like this album a lot, but it's just not the type of music I listen to on a day-to-day basis.
Okay.
Like, I think I probably listened to it 10 to 12 times, you know, but it's not something I want to hear every day.
And this album came out early in the year. This came out like late January, early February.
Yeah.
So it's been around for a while, and it's I'll skip around a little bit. This is my number three.
Yeah.
My number three album of the year.
Okay.
This song was my number five song of the year. This song is the best Swallow the Sun song ever, I think, in my opinion.
I think there's so many great songs on this album, it's hard to really pick.
Yeah.
What's your number five?
Thormesis, the sixth. I know Sean has it on his list mm-hmm. soon, too.
Do you?
Yeah. It's my number four.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we discovered these guys in January. We talked about them last time we were on the show. It's an album that I have gone back to over and over and over again throughout the year, whether I'm happy, whether I'm sad, whether I'm actively listening, whether I'm needing background music. It's one of those rare, perfect albums that you can just listen to anytime, any place, no matter what you're doing, and it's always great. I have not gotten tired of it after 60-something listens.
It's funny that you say that, because that's exactly how I felt about it, because I would listen to this album when I was in a bad mood, mm-hmm. when I was in a good mood. when I just needed something to drive to when I was going to the grocery store, mm-hmm. when I was, you know, just like cleaning up or something. It was an album that fit every need I had, every mood I had. It's also black metal that's written with rock and roll structures in mind. So there's like riffs that are you can separate from the kind of, you know, and it's got like a really interesting post-metal production kind of draped over it.
Yeah.
But it's not – it's still heavy hitting. It's a light – it's a really light feeling album too. It's like –
it's not overbearing. It's not
overbearing.
Heavy.
It's just a rock.
I will definitely give it more listens.
Yeah, you should. I mean, anybody that hasn't checked it out, I mean, I went back and I listened to their entire catalog because this is their sixth album, which they called The Sixth. Their previous iterations,
it's way different.
They're way different. And yeah. I mean, while I did find a few choice songs in those five albums that I liked, in general, the albums themselves weren't great. So they've made a tremendous leap forward with this album.
They were all in German too and stuff. And
oh wow!
And that's the other thing. This band's from Germany. I've never heard of them before, and they just kind of this feels like a debut album or something, mm-hmm. you know. But this is maybe my most played record of the year.
So my number five. You want to guess what it is?
Swallow the Sun.
No, I already said it was number three.
Oh, number three. That's right. I'm out of guesses now.
Devin Townsend.
Oh, yeah, Impass.
Oh, man.
Impass.
I was wondering if this would come up on your list.
Oh, yeah, it would.
My prediction was that it wouldn't be on your top 10. I'm surprised.
Because
of how little you've talked about it since then.
So this is a strange thing for me. I listened to this album a lot, and it was way lower in my list for a while. I started listening to it more again recently and sort of clicked with what he was going for. This is an album for himself. This is not an album for fans of Strapping Young Lad or fans of Devin Townsend Project or any of his other material that he's done. He wanted to do an album that he wanted to do, and he didn't really give a fuck if you liked it or not. Most of his fans do like it and do love it. I'm included in that now. I just think he's such a great songwriter and such a great instrumentalist and vocalist. It's just, there's just some weird shit on this album, but I think he needed to do this album compared to what he'd done before. Not one of his albums has ever been the same.
Yeah.
So, this is something he needed to do. I'm excited to see him live. I know when we see him and when he plays in Houston, he's doing all heavy shit. So he'll be doing Strapping Young Lad. He'll be doing stuff from this album. So I'm excited for it. The demos, the second CD of demos on this album, almost as good as the original album, which is strange. There's some really catchy stuff on those demos. And the demos, they're not like really lo-fi sounding demos. I mean, these are as good as the album songs, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
It's just he wrote so much, he had a second CD of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is my number five, Devin Townsend, Impass.
That's not so get surprising.
You said it would be higher up, didn't you?
I guess originally it would be higher up for you, yes, but five is still pretty good.
Five is good.
Yeah.
What you said number four for you is?
Thormesis.
And Worm Witch.
Worm Witch. Number four for me, we mentioned earlier, is Exhorter.
So let's skip number four.
Surprising to me, I've just listened to this album so many times this year.
Yeah.
Number three for you, Sean.
A for Namer. Yeah. Which we've talked about.
We have. Ad nauseum.
Incredible album. Maybe my second most listened to album of the year.
So my number three is a band called Hath, and the album is Of Rotten Ruin. It's kind of a hard band to pin down, but they're progressive technical mellow death. Those of you who remember me from previous shows, you know that I really love Legion.
Yes.
Their most recent album, Apoptosis or whatever, I hate it.
You hate it?
It's moved so far from where they were. I couldn't get into it.
I wondered why this hadn't appeared on your list, the Elysian record.
If you take every song individually and you just listen to one song, it's a solid song.
Yeah.
If you try to listen to the whole album, it's repetitive, it's boring. They lost their flair for you know, interesting melodic passages.
I wasn't that impressed either.
And so many people are raving about it as like the best progressive technical album in America. It's not. It's half. It's this fucking album. This album, I've seen it compared to the last Sludgy album, and I think that's a fair comparison. They're like the American version of Sludgy, or Slug, how do you say it?
Sludge.
Too many G's.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's brutal. There's a lot of changes.
And we're going to play a song from this.
Yes, we will. We will. Every song is drastically different than the song that came before it, but it all feels like the same band. And if you haven't given this album a listen and you like progressive technical mellow death, you got to listen to these guys. It's an album that I discovered in, I think, August, and it just kept creeping up my charts. I kept coming back to it. I'm happy that it's in my number three spot. So
very cool. Number three for me. Do you guys want to take a guess?
No.
we've mentioned it already.
I don't have a gig. I don't have any guesses.
When a shadow was forced into the light.
Oh, swallow the sun. You said that. You did say that.
Yeah. Number three for me.
All right. Makes sense.
All right. We're getting close to the end here.
Okay. We are.
Number two.
Idle Hands.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. All right. I don't know you liked it that much.
I cannot stop listening to this record. And when a record goes from like, I like parts of this, but I kind of hate this part, to just, I need every single note of this record, and it's committed to my memory now.
Yeah.
One of the best debuts from any band in like a decade.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I feel about my number two, which is Mefrash, Shimha Mefrash. It's the most challenging album I listened to this year, because there are so many weird things that it does that on the first listen, you're just like, I'm not sure I get that. Like, there's parts you like and other parts that don't really work, but the more you listen, the more you appreciate all of it. Like, especially like track one, for example, the singer's like gargling and like choking and gasping for air for like a good 30 seconds. And you're like, what is this? But now I can't live without that. Like, I listen to it, I'm like, I'm looking forward to the gargling and the gasping for air. It really is cohesive and it brings the whole thing together. It's a fantastic album that anybody who likes black metal or Behemoth, you know, needs to listen to.
All right. We're number two now.
Yes.
Number two
for me,
for you.
Who does number two work for?
Who is number two? Do you want to guess?
I'm running out of guesses. I can't.
Avantasia, Moonglow.
Interesting.
Yeah. Is it your number one?
It's not even on my list.
It's not even on your list. Wow.
I thought it was inferior to Ghostlights in every way. I mean, there is something I will say for the end, but because we're covering songs. I mean, Ghost in the Moon is my song of the year.
Yeah.
So it did make an impact on my year-end list. It's number one on that list. But the album itself, I think that he ran with this lineup of guest musicians one album too far. I think it was great on Ghostlights, and it was really unique and inspired, and I think he just kind of – you ran out of ideas for Jeff Tate. You ran out of ideas for even Bob Catley, and it's – you know, how do you squander a talent like Bob Catley? But the album starts out strong and immediately dips, and it just never really recovered. And I
– Even the Maniac cover? Come on.
Yeah, which was terrible. It's the worst thing he's ever done. Yeah. I mean, it's not a bad album. It's just merely okay, and it's not good enough for Avantasia. So it was disappointing in that sense, yeah.
We'll just agree to disagree here. I enjoy this album a lot. I just go back to it so many times.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm a fanboy, though, so.
Yeah. I consider myself a fanboy, but I know what he's good at, and I know when it seems like he's overextending himself. And Ed Guy doesn't seem to be coming back anytime soon, so he's going to be doing Avantasia pretty much full time. His next move that he has to do is he has to get rid of some of these guys and get some new blood.
I think for me, a lot of it had to do with seeing them live and seeing these songs performed live.
Right.
It brought the album into a completely different light for me. Even seeing Jeff Tate performing these songs live, it was a totally different experience. Because going into it, I didn't like the album as much as I did after seeing it live. And I'm just realizing that now, I think that live experience did affect my opinion on this album.
I mean, the Ravenchild is a great song.
Yeah.
And Ghost of the Moon is obviously, that's my song of the year. Moonglow is a great song. There's great stuff on there. It's just, it's not all. Ghost Lights to me was every single song was like a home run, which is staggering, you know, so.
All right. Let's do a drum roll now. Number one.
For me, it was Dialith, Extinction 6, who are an unsigned band from Danbury, Connecticut, who play symphonic metal. And symphonic metal is not a genre where an unsigned band should be able to succeed. In fact, most symphonic metal from bands who are trying to do it in that mold, like what you think of as traditional symphonic metal with a female vocalist and everything, they suck. But Dialith are an incredible band, and they're making a small impact now, but I hope it gets bigger for them because they have taken symphonic metal and turned it on its head by getting rid of the simplistic chug-chug guitars.
Yeah.
And they infuse heavy, technical, melodic death metal guitars in there. The drummer is just all over the place, just creative fills left and right. He's a dynamo on this record. And then the vocalist is really icy, Krista Sion. She's got this icy tone to her voice. She's got a deft way of singing. She's really nimble with her word choice and diction and phrasing. And their songwriting is unbelievable. This album, it came out in August, and I played it so much, I ran the risk of burning myself out on it, and it never came. I still listened to it. I was listening to it on the drive up here.
You have sold me. I would have to check this out.
I love this album so much. It stunned me because it came out of nowhere.
I actually discovered this album way before Sean posted his list, and I listened to it quite a bit when I first found it, and I was impressed.
Yeah.
I did get a little bit burned out on it after repeat listens, though. So it ended up, I think, just outside of my top 50, but I didn't realize they were unsigned or whatever. Like, that's impressive.
Yeah,
I just found them. They're quite good. So if you haven't heard them, I can understand why Sean appreciates it so much.
Very cool. All right, number one for you.
For me, it is White Ward with Love Exchange Failure.
A band I tried to get into, and I'm going to try to get into from your recommendation.
It didn't
happen for me.
In my opinion, the most dynamic and interesting album of 2019. It tells a story about all the different ways that love can hurt us, and it does through a lot of anthology type stories set in like an urban setting. So you see, it's hard to describe it as an album. I kind of describe it like a movie, but everything takes place in this urban city, and you hear, you know, police sirens in the background of songs, and like you hear, you know, scuffles and windows breaking and things like that. There's also a lot of jazz elements built into it. I mean, it's progressive, technical, post-melodic black metal with tons and tons and tons of jazz elements. There's even like two or three songs that I would say are probably more jazz than metal, but they're still metal. I love it. I could not get enough of it. I listened to this album so many times. It's sad. It's beautiful. It's just incredible. So, if any of that sounds interesting, check out White Ward.
Some of the adjectives that you used describe my number one, and it's a band we've already discussed. My number one is Insomnium. I've listened to this album at least 50 times this year. It is my number one go-to album right now. It's everything I wanted a new Insomnium album to be, and it delivered for me. It, like you said, it's beautiful. It's sad. It's melancholic. It's cathartic. It's everything I wanted this album to be, and they delivered.
I have to say the only reason I didn't pick a White Ward song to play on our playlist is because the ones that are primarily metal and not jazz are all 12 minutes long or longer, and the jazz ones are a little bit shorter. So, but
I did check out this album. It's the album with like the it's like a
you see the
city view escape. Cityscape. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that one.
Yep.
What's the, okay. I'll have to check that out. Cause that description is crazy to me. So.
I think you'll really like
it. Yeah.
So that's our top albums of the year, our 2019 Rewind. a lot of different opinions on albums, but a lot of the same at the same time.
There was some overlap. I mean, yeah, there's some of the albums that we all love.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what the great thing about being a fan of this genre, of being a fan of metal music in general, is there's so many bands, so many genres, so many styles, so many albums every year.
Especially in 2019.
Especially this year.
It was like a lot of work, actually, going through and doing this the way I did. I don't know if I'm going to put so much time and dedication into it in 2020. I mean, I listened to 300 albums at least twice each. And that's most crazy. Of them I listened to 5, 6, 7 times.
What you did this year was what I did last year, and it annihilated me.
It's a chore, you know?
It does wear you out, for sure.
So I'm going to try to be a little bit less anal about stuff next year.
I still think
our resolution for 2020.
Less anal.
Less anal.
I still think I easily listened to close to the 200 records this year, but that for me was being disciplined. You know? Mm-hmm. Just like, all right, no, not going to listen to this ridiculous sludge metal thing just because a label sent it to me or something, right. You know? Like,
so you've heard us yap about our favorite albums of the year. Let's hear some more. Next, we're going to have a band that Justin picked out. It was your
number three.
Number three. This is Hass. H-A-T-H. This is from the album of Rot and Ruin. The song is called Rituals, and we're going to check this out and be right back.
Back to MSRcast 231, and that was Carrie's pick.
Yep. Nailed to obscurity. My number 7 pick of the year.
Yeah.
This is a Black Frost title track to Black Frost. There's something about that guy's vocals and the guitar tone and just the mellow doom deaths of it all. Great stuff.
That's a great album. And then before that was my album, number 3.
Oh, that was horrible.
It was horrible. What?
I thought it was Haas the whole time.
Oh, man. You're misled.
They turned the heat up, so it wasn't Haas anymore. It was Haas.
That's what it was.
It was a good album. It's very definitely reminded me of Morbid Angel a lot of times, which is nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I need to check that out.
I think you'll like it.
So anybody have any album looking forward to in 2020?
That one I was talking about before the show started.
I mean, the I really don't. I try not to look too far ahead.
He's playing music already.
Sorry.
Temperance right now in January is the closest one I can think of. I really got into that album they released in 2018. I got into it late, but I like their whole concept. I like the three singers. They're all great. And Italian power metal is all of a sudden the best, some of the best power metal in the world is coming out of Italy. And I can't say that that's been the case for the past, you know, 15 years, but it's happening now. So,
yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So, like, this band, Vredehammer, which I'm guessing is German, released a single called Aggressor, which is one of the catchiest songs I've heard this year, but the album's supposed to come out next year.
We heard it earlier. It was really good.
It's very, very catchy. It keeps getting stuck in my head.
Vredehammer?
Vredehammer, yeah, however you want to say it, I guess. But I'm looking forward to that for sure. Other than that, I don't really know what's coming out next year.
I'm looking forward to, I know the new Anthrax coming out. There's the new Psychotic Waltz album coming out. I'm looking forward to that. They've released one song already, which is pretty damn good. There's a new Sons of Apollo album. I really enjoy them. I don't know. I haven't really looked too far into what's coming out this year. Demons and Wizards.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a big one.
Yeah.
I'm not wild on the single right now, I admit. But
Wolf has a new album. I didn't know that. I think the Demon of the Wizard might need to be more in the concept, you know, in the whole concept of the album.
Context, yeah. And yeah. That's the thing with listening to these pre-release tracks.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a bunch of new albums coming out this coming up year. So hopefully 2020 will be just as good as 2019.
It's going to be tough. I'll say that. Maybe. It's going to be tough.
It's always tough.
Yeah.
I mean, we got Carcass has a new album coming out, Anthrax, Armored Saint, Anolnic Trock, Cradle of Filth, Dark Angel is going to have an album out. Mm. That's going to be pretty cool. Enslaved, it's the new album coming out,
that
finally.
Would be great.
Yeah. New Firewind, Fintrol. Finally, I get to see Firewind live, even though it's not with Apollo, but
yeah.
I will definitely go see that.
Ooh, Hatebreed.
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to Hatebreed.
I am quietly looking forward to that.
I know you are. I'm quietly looking forward to hearing him talk about it on this podcast. Halloween has a new album coming out.
Issan's new album's coming out.
Right. Is it a full album or is it an EP?
I'm not sure, but I listened to the first single and it's pretty solid. So
Megadeth supposedly have a new album. Moonspell, Overkill. Of course, Overkill has a new album coming out every year, right? There's a lot of good stuff coming out. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
So thanks for tuning in to episode 231. Thanks for hanging out with us in 2019. Looking forward to all the cool metal that's coming out soon. Thanks to Sean the Metal Pigeon for hanging out with us.
Yeah.
Thanks to Justin. Oh, wait a minute. What is it?
The funny metal guy?
Still didn't work.
It's not working for Carrie.
Not working for me. Justin Mindfudge? What about that?
Nah.
Mindfudge Justin?
I mean, my handle and everything is Comical JC, so you can call me Comical JC if you want. That's
fine. Call me Comical Justin.
Sure, that works.
That'll work.
Okay.
Brutal-ish.
Sure.
All right, so
Justin with the horns.
That's right. So that's our 2019 Rewind. Of course, you can find MSRcast all over the social medias at MSRcast. You can find us on our website, MSRcast.com, MetalGeeksPodcast.com. You can find us on iTunes. Subscribe to us there. Give us a review. You can find us on, Stitcher and Spotify and all the places where you can find your podcast. You can find, of course, Sean the Metal Pigeon at
the Metal Pigeon on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and themetalpigeon.com.
And if you want to check out my show, it's available at mindfudgecomedy.com or on any of the other podcatchers. You can just do a search for Mindfudge Comedy. If you want to follow me, I'm at ComicalJC on Instagram and Twitter. So
very cool. Well, thank you guys for reliving 2019 with me. Any big surprises this year?
For 2019?
Yeah. What was your biggest surprise?
For me, the big takeaway was that I didn't go into the year expecting that it would be all mostly new bands that wowed
me. I was going to say the same thing.
That was the best thing of that year, yeah.
A lot of new discoveries this year.
Yeah.
And a lot of great new discoveries that have become favorite bands.
Right, yeah.
Which is pretty rare sometimes.
Yeah.
No? Yeah.
All right, well, we look forward to 2020, and as again, we always say at the very end of our show, what do we say?
Oh, keep it metal.
Is that what we say? Are you sure?
Oh, keep it metal.
Oh, keep it metal. That's what we do say.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.